Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to another service here at Unity Center of Light, located in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And it's our pleasure to bring you this service today. If this is your first time and you don't know that on Sundays at 10:30, we have a Zoom fellowship service. So if you would ever like to watch this message and meditation with other Unity folks, we invite you to join us in that Zoom session. If you don't know how to get on, we post it in the weekly newsletter and the e-newsletter that comes out every week. And if you're not on our mailing list and don't know how to get that, just go to unitycenteroflight.org, and you can get that link from there. Also, we just say thank you for everyone who supports Unity Center of Light with your donations. We are truly thankful for all that you are sharing with us. And if you're wondering how to do that, again, if you watch this on YouTube, just click on that Show More button just below, and you can see the ways you can donate to Unity. And we thank you in advance for that. But right now, we're going to get started with Pamela.
Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light's The Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop and fully express their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine identity. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. There is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. And now we will have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, August 27th. The keywords are world peace, and the affirmation is, I join with others to build a peaceful world. The world's problems can feel so overwhelming and its need so great that I may wonder how my individual efforts could make such a difference. But every action I take can contribute to world peace. I remember there are people throughout the world who feel the way I do. So many are doing what they can to bring light and love to their neighborhoods and communities. I feel comforted, realizing I am not alone in my efforts. Peace begins with each person and inspires others as it spreads, uniting all the world's people to live and thrive in harmony and cooperation. We are meant to live in peace. I hold that vision and offer compassionate service as a way to make my dream for world peace a reality for all of us. And the scripture reading is taken from Romans 14:19, and it reads, let us then pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with Reverend Butch.
Thank you, Sean. So, you know, today's talk is called A Deep Dive into the Master Parable. And I'm really kind of excited about sharing this message because of some things I discovered about this particular parable we're going to go over today. You know, as a follow-up to last week's lesson, which might have been a little dense, I thought that maybe this week we should go back to basics by reviewing a parable taught by Jesus. So the purpose of this lesson is to explore the thought process we need to develop to be able to understand the deeper meaning of the truth principles we encounter on our spiritual quest, okay? We will explore how hidden in the parables is the key to developing the mental capacity for a deeper understanding of how to use truth principles to change our mental map of reality, if you can remember last week's lesson. Because the deeper our understanding, the more fulfilling our life becomes. As we gain a greater ability to see the true meaning of the various circumstances and situations in our lives, okay? And what could be better than that? Then, you know, when things happen in your life, instead of going, why is this happening? You can begin to see why these things are happening and what your response, you know, how your response should be. Not from your intellect, all the time, but from that deeper aspect of yourself that you're becoming more familiar with and acting out of, acting in your life more from, which gives you more of an ability to have an infinite number of understandings and responses to what's, you know, what's occurring in your life. So all total, there are 30 parables listed in the Gospels. For note takers, 30 parables listed in the Gospel, 11 of them are recorded in Matthew, 2 are recorded in Mark, and 17 are recorded in Luke. Okay. Now, as the author of the book, The Hidden Parables, and that's a great book, but it's been long out of print, explains that though the 30 parables are in chronological sequence, the best place to start is not with the first parable, but with the fourth, which is the parable of the sower. Now, this is considered the master parable because it provides the key to unlocking the deeper meaning of all other parables. Now, in the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible, it has a heading showing that verses Matthew 13, 3 through 23 are divided into three sections. In the first section are verses 3 through 9 in chapter 13 of Matthew, and Jesus tells the parable of the sower to the crowds of people who came to hear. Now, I venture to guess that almost everyone is familiar with this parable, but for the sake of a few who may not be familiar, let's just review it. Okay? So it says, "Then he told them many things in parable, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seeds. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Some fell on the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered away because they had no roots. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seeds fell on good soil where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." Okay. So that's an important part of that verse. So that was the first section of the parable of the sower, okay? And we're not going to get into interpreting that, and I'll tell you the reason why. It's because the third section of the parable, verses 18 to 23, are very interesting because this is where Jesus interprets or reveals the spiritual essence of the parable of the sower, okay? This is something he did not do in any other of the parables, the 30 parables that are attributed to him. He didn't do any interpretation. Okay? So if you want to read Jesus' interpretation of the parable of the sower for yourself, which I recommend, you will can find it in Matthew 13, 18 through 23. Okay, so in that 18 through 23, he is going to interpret the parable of the sower. Again, something he's never done before. But the section we're interested in exploring this week is the second section. This is where we find the key to understanding all the other parables. It is where we find the master key to what Jesus was trying to accomplish with his teachings, which is to get us to open our minds and hearts to a divine reality that transcends the trials and tribulations that confront us in this life experience. Okay? So in verses 10 through 17, Jesus is questioned by his disciples. They're always questioning him, but in this particular one, you know, his disciples say to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" So in this section, Jesus explains to the disciples why he uses parables as a means to communicate his message. Now, from this point on, be mindful of the fact that this is a study in how the ego creates and maintains a sense of separation between itself and God, okay? Let me say it again. This is a study in how the ego creates us and maintains a sense of separation between itself and God. That might be a little shocking to hear because you might be saying, I don't feel this separation from God, okay? And an ego will do that even while proclaiming that it loves God, right? So it's a study of how our ego self keeps us separated from our God self. And just hold on to that thought and we'll work with it. But again, it's done in such a subtle way that we most often are not even aware that this is happening, okay? See, it's difficult to claim God in your life while at the same time claiming the challenges in your life, okay? See, God in your life doesn't claim those challenges, but our ego claims those challenges. So it's difficult to claim God in your life while at the same time claiming the challenges in your life, okay? So to help us understand how to move into a mindset that is centered on hearing God and seeing God being active in our life and affairs, listen to Jesus' answer to the disciples' question. He says, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to those who have, more will be given." This is probably a familiar part to some of you. "And they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. The reason I speak to them in parables is that seeing, they do not perceive, and hearing, they do not listen, nor do they understand. With them indeed is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that says, 'You will indeed listen, but never understand, and you will indeed look, but never perceive. For the people's hearts have grown dull, and their eyes are hard, their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes, so that they might not look with their eyes and listen with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn, so that I could heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and hear what you hear, but did not hear it." Okay, so that's a lot, but we're going to break that down. Okay, so in this second section, it's clear that Jesus is working with his disciples as initiates. Okay, they are being initiated into the deeper mysteries of the universe. However, it's imperative for all of us to understand that the opportunity that is being offered to the disciples is also being offered to each one of us, okay? Just as the disciples were in a teacher-student relationship with Jesus, so also are we in a teacher-student relationship with Jesus. And this is whether or not we realize it. That's the key, okay? So it's written in the Course in Miracles that a good teacher must believe in the ideas he or she teaches. But he or she must meet another condition. They must believe in the students to whom, you know, he or she offers the ideas. And to give the name Jesus a more universal perspective, okay? Sometimes folks can't just accept this idea that we're learning from Jesus. So let's give the name Jesus a universal perspective. The revealing word explains that the name Jesus represents our I am identity. Okay, it represents the Christ within us. So when you hear that name, as Ed Rabel used to say, it sparks something in your whole system, your whole being. Okay, because Jesus represents that I am identity. It's that aspect of each one of us that is divine. Yes, it is good to have a person to identify with who lived and taught how to connect with our own indwelling Christ identity. But there comes a point where we as students must live the lessons we are taught, okay? So according to Bible stories, Jesus obviously believed in his disciples, okay? A disciple being one who braces and assists in spreading the teachings of another. So likewise, as students of Jesus' teachings, we are also disciples. It is our job to spread the teachings we have come to realize as being true as a result of having experienced the power and the glory of these teachings actually working in our lives. So we're not talking off the top of our heads. We're talking from the perspective of I've worked with these teachings, I've lived with these teachings, and I see them working in my life, okay? But this does not necessarily mean that we go out and we proselytize, okay? It is not so much about our words that we spread our understanding of truth as it is work in our lives, as it is our actions, okay? The way we live our lives and interact with others is the way that we spread that truth. So it is each one of us, you know, that's saying, that Jesus is saying to us, to you, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. He said, truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see and did not see it, and long to hear what you hear but did not hear it. Okay. Now, This is not saying that we're special or more gifted than others. What Jesus is explaining is that there is a qualification required to be able to hear and understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. And the qualification for this spiritual ability is a profound willingness on the part of the true student to truly hear and understand the deeper truths that Jesus is teaching, okay? And remembering that the kingdom of heaven is a realm of divine ideas that express in our lives in perfect harmony with our state of mind, okay? So if you're in a state of mind of that one of the many perspectives of fear, it's going to show up in your mind in that way. If you're in a perspective of mind of love or peace, it'll show up in your mind in that way, okay? So if your mind is open and receptive to receiving ideas because you've instilled yourself to listen, that are, you know, and receiving these divine ideas that are beyond your normal way of perceiving what is possible in your life and affairs, then to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, okay? So the master said to the truth student, but beloved, are your eyes, or blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And that is the first choice we must make on our spiritual journey. That being, to be open, as I so say so often, and receptive to God's living spirit of truth, okay? I'm opening my eyes, I'm opening my ears, I'm opening my understanding, all right? So that I can receive and hear this divine message that's always being given to me, this divine guidance. So you must have a deep burning desire to hear the truth, see the truth, and know the truth, okay? So when stuff comes up in your life, the first thing we want to think about is what is the truth here, okay? And how can I be an instrument of that truth? And you must want this greater than your desire to remain separate by holding on to your present way of thinking and being. Do you get that? So we're just stuck on holding on to our present way of perceiving things that are happening in our lives. We're stuck in that, okay? We won't be able to, our eyes won't be able to see and our ears won't be able to hear what Spirit is trying to teach us in this moment of whatever is going on, okay? So we must want this ability to see and hear the activity of God in our lives greater than wanting to hold on to our present way of thinking and being. And as we said in last week's lesson, we must become willing to give up our present mental map of reality, okay? So as we said in the beginning of this lesson, these verses, 10 through 17, are the key to understanding the other 29 parables that is recorded and attributed to Jesus, okay? And in that, and what's happening with this particular one is it's describing, okay, the mindset that is necessary to embrace the deeper meanings hidden in Scripture, okay? Now, you may ask, why must these truths be hidden? I mean, we've even talked about this before in discussions. Why are these truths hidden? Well, Jesus responded to that question in Matthew 7:6. He said, do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before swine, for lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. You can almost self-interpret that, okay? Even if you've tried to share some unity principles with others and, you know, felt yourself being attacked. So I'm not saying that others don't have the ability to tap into this, but we have found in ourselves that when we try to, you know, talk about these ideas, sometimes they're not always accepted. And again, to repeat the scripture shared earlier, this is why Jesus made that statement about not throwing, you know, pearls before swine. He said, the reason I speak to them in parables is that seeing they do not perceive. This is what we said earlier. And hearing they do not listen, nor do they understand. With them indeed is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that says, you will indeed listen, but never understand. And you will indeed look, but never perceive. For the people's hearts have grown dull and their eyes are hard of hearing.
Ears.
Oh, thank you, sweetie. And their ears are hard of hearing. And have shut their eyes so they will not, might not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn so that I may heal them. Okay? And the healing that's being talked about is healing us of our old way of being so we can be open and receptive to a new way of being. And it's interesting to note that the concept hearts have grown dull and ears hard of hearing and eyes shut is not necessarily a state of mind we purposely set out to create. Rather, I believe it's a byproduct of the reactions we had and have to the experiences in our lives. In other words, things come up in our lives and it really shuts our eyes, blocks our ears, blocks our understanding of how can I use my truth principles in this particular situation. Okay. And as we explored in last week's lesson, our life experiences created within us a mental map of reality in which our hearts, ears, and eyes became more open to the things of the outer life, while at the same time shutting down to the things of the inner life. Okay. Now, this is how the Course in Miracles explains that. It says, many stand guard over their ideas because they want to protect their thought systems as they are. And learning means change. Change is always fearful to the separated because they cannot conceive of it as a move towards healing the separation. They always perceive change as a move towards further separation because the separation was their first experience of change, meaning this concept of being more attuned to what my ego sees than what my God self sees, okay? And you believe that if you allow change to enter, this is important, if you allow change to enter into... Say it again?
You allow no change.
Oh, thank you. If you allow... You believe that if you allow no change to enter into your ego, you will find peace. If you believe you will, if you allow no change to enter into your ego, you will find peace. This profound confusion is possible only if you maintain that the same thought system can stand on two foundations, love and fear, at the same time. Now, here's something that's going to be good for discussion. Just think about this. Nothing can reach spirit from the ego, and nothing can reach the ego from spirit. Let me say that again, because this is good for discussion. Nothing can reach spirit from the ego, and nothing can reach the ego from spirit. Okay? So, think about that for a minute. You know, who are these people who are stuck in their own belief systems? If I was in person, I would ask everybody to answer that for me, okay? To a degree, we are those people. But the action that is in our favor is that we are at least here trying to do something about changing our thought of separation. It's like, you know, when you go into the health club, you'll see people who are overweight or out of shape, and you can tell they feel a little self-conscious being around people who have been working out for a long time. But the overwhelming truth that's in their favor is that they are in the gym working out. They're doing something to change themselves. They're working to change their map of reality. And so it is with each one of us, okay? We are here asking the same questions that the disciples asked. And as Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. And here's the encouraging part that gives us hope and faith. Jesus said, for everyone who asks, receives, and everyone who seeks, finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be open. And that is the truth. But for us, asking, seeking, knocking, that process to get it to work, we must understand that it is not an intellectual process alone. Rather, it is a transitional process, meaning we have to be willing to let our mental map of reality change, okay? And as it said in that Course in Miracles we just read, a lot of times we believe by not changing, we can stay at peace, and that's just not the case. All right, now, again, listen to this explanation from the Course. It says, spirit can neither strengthen the ego nor reduce the conflict within it. again, write that down for a discussion when we get together. Spirit can neither strengthen the ego nor reduce the conflict within it. The ego is a contradiction. Yourself and God's self are in opposition. They are opposed in source, in direction, and in outcome. They are fundamentally irreconcilable because spirit cannot perceive, it can only know, and the ego cannot know, it can only perceive. They are therefore not in communication and can never be in communication. However, the ego can learn. That's what we're talking about. The ego can learn, okay? This is saying that with time and spiritual practice, the ego can come to know it is not its job to be in charge. My ego's job is to let go and let God be in charge of my life and affairs. And to clarify, this does not mean that I do nothing. It does mean that I stay open and receptive to hearing God and seeing God active in my life and affairs and then following suit. Okay? So the statement, spirit can neither strengthen the ego nor reduce the conflict within in the ego, is interesting when we think about how when we are distraught or particularly challenged, we plead, God, give me strength, or God, help me. Okay? The dichotomy in that request is that you already have the strength of God within you. I already have the strength of God within me. There is a power within you that's far greater than anything that exists outside of you. So to plead, God, give me strength, is a contradiction. The Course is saying this type of pleading places you in opposition to the truth, because the truth is God is already within you as your strength. God is already within me as my strength. So instead of pleading, God, give me strength, the psalmist gave us a key when he explained, I just need to be still and know that I am already strong, or I am already healed, or I am already whole, or I am already prosperous, okay? Which can be paraphrased to fit any request we have of God, and that's what I was doing. This idea of be still and know that I'm already strong, and all the examples I just gave, you can use that to fit into anything that you're asking God for. And again, just remember that God cannot change the reactions of our ego. God just remains God, the source of all our needs. It is like God is saying, you don't really need to call on me. You just need to learn how to be still and listen for me and watch for me, because I am always with you working in your life and affairs. So our work is to be open. Our work is to open our eyes so that we can see, and open our ears so we can hear, and know that God is always with us. Okay? So I'm going to end with this advice for us as truth students, again from the Course. It says, recognize your error thinking and choose to abandon it. Okay, that's what we were talking about, this idea of being caught up in our own inner dynamics and not being able to just relax and let spirit work through us. So recognize your error thinking and choose to abandon it. You are free to establish your kingdom where you see fit. But the right choice is to remember this. Spirit is in a state of grace always and forever. Your true reality, your true foundation is only spirit. Any other choice other than that is an error. Therefore, choose only spirit and you will be in a state of grace forever. And so it is. Amen. And now we're going to have meditation with Pamela.
So now, Unity family, take this moment to relax and allow yourself to pause. Take a deep breath in and feel yourself begin to relax. You may close your eyes or take a downward gaze. Be aware of your body as it settles down. Breathe in and out and let any tension you feel to gently slip away. In this moment, let go of any troubles on your heart and mind as you become fully present to this now moment. In this moment of stillness, you feel this tranquil presence within you. Silently affirm, in quiet times of prayer, I am filled with a sense of tranquility. In quiet times of prayer, I am filled with a sense of tranquility. So now please take these words as your very own. The peace of God is my true nature. This peace is my birthright. This peace is a knowing. I can touch this peace by turning within. No matter what my circumstance, I am peace. No matter how much chaos surrounds me, I am peace. No matter the misunderstanding, thoughts of regret, loss of loved ones, I am peace. I am the peace that passes all understanding. I see my world in peace despite appearances. I choose to see things and circumstances as peace. And now take another deep breath in and let it go. And prepare now to take these thoughts to the secret place of the Most High. This is our place in consciousness where peace, joy, faith, and love abide. And you may enter into this place at any moment of any day. Here is also the opportunity to pray and receive answers to your prayers. First, you must enter in an emptied state. Release now all you think negatively about yourself and others. It is now time to go deeper within yourself. As you return from this time of meditation and re-enter your day, let us each give thanks in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is, and forever shall be. Amen.
That was great, huh? That's sort of the answer to how-to to the talk. All right, so this is the time we give thanks to the universe for all the blessings in our lives. We need to take time all the time to be thankful for all the blessings that do come in our lives. I think we've told you that Pam and I follow a, I guess it was an Oprah Winfrey thing, that we write in our books every night what we were grateful for, what happened during that day. We want to acknowledge all the time our gratefulness for what the universe brings into our lives. So, you know, thinking about that, let's say our prosperity prayer together. Divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I am, all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive. Thank you for all the blessings you provide for me and through me. Amen.
Amen.
And in the same idea of being thankful for blessings, you know, we are, as a spiritual community, are thankful for the blessings that come in, the offerings, that donations that help us to continue doing the work that we do. So hold your offering in your hand, in your mind, in your spirit as we say our offering blessing together. We bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. All right. Now you have light notes.
Yes. just a couple, well, more than three or four. So light notes for today, August the 27th. First of all, we want to give a big thank you to all the folks who helped with supplying, packing, and delivering the backpacks. We appreciate all you did for this project. September the 10th is our next live, in-person, and Zoom service. So we invite you to come out and support your church family and enjoy the music of Tepora. The Book Light Book Club will be discussing the next book by Marianne Williamson called The Age of Miracles, Embracing the New Midlife. They'll meet on Sunday, September the 10th on Zoom at 1:30 p.m. And that concludes our announcements for today.
That was short. Mm-hmm. All right, so it is time.
It's time to bless the path that we each will walk this week, and we are going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto. Together,
I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous, and I am grateful. Let's go right to our prayer for protection.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So we are very thankful for you being here with us today and allowing us to serve you in this way. And we look forward to seeing you next week, possibly in Zoom, and then the week after that in-person service. And if you're wondering why it's not on the first Sunday, it's because that's 4th of July weekend, and we found it's much better not to do serve in-person on holidays. So we will see you on September the 10th at Kent Health Center here in Bowie. Other than that, have a wonderful week.
And we'll see you on Zoom.
Yes. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.